On this last summer Sunday before the Labor Day long weekend, the scripture threads that we've been reading our way through for the past several weeks are finally all drawn to a close. And with texts that call us, and indeed challenge us, toward lives of greater faithfulness. In our Old Testament reading, the epic saga of King David culminates this morning with David's son and successor, King Solomon, offering an eloquent and inclusive prayer of dedication for the glorious temple that he has built. A temple where we're told that even foreigners, Gentiles, will be welcomed to come and to honor God. You'll recall that David himself had once longed to build such a temple, both as a dwelling place for God and as a sign of David's own kingly power. But God, through the prophet Nathan, had decreed that the building of the temple would need to wait until the reign of David's son. And so the temple was built during the reign of David's son Solomon. Solomon, who had prayed for wisdom as his most desired leadership gift. Solomon, who recognized that no earthly temple, no matter how grand, could ever contain or co-opt the presence or the power of God. Solomon, who saw this temple not as a sign of his own kingly power, but as a sign of God's eternal faithfulness, and as a sacred place that would both promote and inspire the kind of faithful response to God that God calls forth from one and all. And similarly, our series of readings from the Epistle to the Ephesians is also concluded this morning with St. Paul's rather evocative, if somewhat militaristic, call toward such greater faithfulness. Be strong in the Lord, Paul writes, and put on the whole armor of God. Shield yourselves with faith and hope. Clothe yourselves with truth and righteousness, that you may be made ready to proclaim the gospel of God's peace. Now, these calls to greater faithfulness that characterize our first two readings are contrasted, if you will, by the lack of faithfulness that we witness in some of the would-be followers of Jesus in this morning's gospel passage. For the past several weeks, we've been reading our way through that section of John's gospel known as the Bread of Life narrative. And it's given that name because in this passage, we hear Jesus say over and over and over again, I am the bread of life. I am the bread which has come down from heaven. I am the true bread that brings life to the world, and whoever eats this bread possesses eternal life. And we've also heard Jesus say in this narrative that the bread that he gives us to eat, the bread which he gives for the life of the world, that bread is his own flesh. His own life lived out and laid down for the life of the world. Well, this morning we heard how many of the disciples who had listened to Jesus make these remarkable statements, some of whom had no doubt been following him for quite some time, we heard how these disciples found all of this talk about bread just a little bit too much to swallow. When many of the disciples heard it, John writes, they said, this teaching is too difficult for us. Who is able to accept it? And then John tells us that many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer followed him. These disciples knew what Jesus was saying, and yet it was difficult for them to accept, and even more difficult for them to respond with deep faithfulness. They knew quite well, as you and I also know, that what Jesus was telling them was that he somehow embodied the very life of God, and that no one can live this life or embrace God's eternity without submitting to his leading. The real challenge of Christianity has always been twofold. First of all, it has always demanded an act of surrender to Jesus, if you will, an acknowledgement that in order to have life, we must allow ourselves to be nourished by his life and to be sustained by his word. But even more difficult than this act of surrender is the moral demand that such surrender implies. Because being nourished by his life and being sustained by his word are not enough. We must also be shaped by his example. By feasting on the bread which has come down from heaven, by being nourished by the body of Christ, we are called to become Christ's body in the world. We are called to grow as individuals and to grow together as a community into the image of Christ and into the ways of Christ's self-giving love. We are called to give of our life, his life within us, for the life of the world that surrounds us. This act of submission to Christ has always been difficult for people to make. But the willingness to allow ourselves to grow in the ways of Christ as members of Christ's body has somehow always seemed to be even more difficult. And so for the past two millennia, many people have refused Christ. And many people continue to refuse Christ. Not so much because he has challenged their intellect in ways that are too difficult to understand, but rather because he has challenged their lives in ways that are too difficult to embrace. People as individuals and as communities are often way too rigid to willingly hear and accept and respond to Christ's challenge to change and to grow. We are all sometimes so set in our ways and so confident in our convictions that we find it difficult to allow Christ to bend us and to shape us and to move us toward becoming the more faithful followers that he would have us become. The great storyteller Aesop once told a fable about an oak tree and the reeds. The reeds made their home by the side of a river, in the shade of their neighbor, a mighty oak tree. And when the wind blew, the reeds swayed back and forth while the oak tree stood tall and firm. "I can't understand," said the oak tree, "why you bend and lean with the wind. I can stand tall and still. The wind holds no terror for me." "You are big and strong," said the reeds, "but we have learned to bow to the storm." "Nonsense," said the tree, who refused to speak to the reeds anymore, thinking them foolish and weak. But soon a powerful wind came. With thunder and lightning that terrified everyone except the oak tree, who stood tall and firm. But the storm was so strong that the tree was soon torn up by the roots and thrown into the river. "If you had bowed to the storm like us," said the reeds, "it would have passed you over, and you'd still be standing today." It seems to me that many of us in the church, in every place and age, are a bit like the mighty oak tree, so confident, so strong and self-assured. And sometimes that makes it hard for us to follow Christ faithfully, because we are unable to hear or unwilling to heed his call to change and to grow. We are unwilling to bow to the mighty wind of God's Spirit that continues to sweep across the face of the earth. Jesus teaches us that it is better to give than to receive. Jesus teaches us that we should love others, even those who persecute us. Jesus teaches us that we should share what we have with the poor and with those in need, and not just our resources, but our time and our talent, our advocacy and our action. Jesus teaches us to not judge others, and that we should turn the other cheek, and that we should become makers of peace. And throughout history, there have been countless people who have found such teachings too difficult to accept, And I suspect that many of us sometimes find these teachings difficult to respond to. And yet Jesus tells us once again in today's gospel reading that these words that he gives us and that his teaching and his example are to be for us both sources of spirit and of life. Jesus alone can show us what life truly is, and Jesus alone can give us the Spirit's strength to live that life faithfully. And so as we prepare once again to receive the bread of life that has come down from heaven in order to give us life, so that we in turn might give life to the world, our scriptures this morning are clearly calling us toward lives of deeper faithfulness. They're calling us to ask ourselves where it is that the Spirit of God is blowing in our lives. And they're challenging us to rededicate ourselves to being always ready to bend to Christ's leading as we seek to grow ever more fully, both in our knowledge of and in our response to God's will in our lives. Will we be like those who turned back in this morning's gospel reading, refusing to accept this challenge to follow Jesus simply because what he asks of us is both difficult to accept and demanding to respond to? Or will we be like Peter? Will we acknowledge that Jesus is the Holy One of God, the only one who speaks the word of life? So let me conclude by referring back to some of the words we prayed in our opening collect this morning. Gracious God, set your living bread before us so that we may be strengthened to continue the work that your Son has called us to do. May it be so. May we work to make it so. Amen.